Welcome to Linda's Corner. My name is Linda Bjork. Today we're going to be talking about building stronger, healthier, and happier relationships. And I'm so excited to introduce our special guest, Kim Bowen. Kim is a licensed professional counselor who offers relationship therapy through her company, The Marriage Place, which is based in Texas. But she also offers online counseling, which makes her accessible to anyone, anywhere in the world. Kim's mission is to help couples build stronger, healthier, and happier relationships. And she's written the book on it, literally. Actually, she's written a couple of books on it. She recently relaunched her book, Marriage Rescue Triage Toolkit, and her blogs and newsletters have been featured in numerous publications. So, Kim, welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Hi.
I am so excited. Thank you for having Vivian reach out to me. I looked through your website and I watched your video and I thought, oh, we could be friends. And
she asked me, if she said, look at her stuff and see if you guys are in alignment. And I sent her back and I said, I've never met anybody more in alignment. Like, I've not seen material out there that's so much about what we believe.
Delights me. I felt the same way. I thought, oh my gosh. And we even have been married about the same amount of time. I'm just a year ahead, so.
Well, there you have it.
Very awesome.
We're friends already.
Oh, thank you. I don't think we can ever have too many friends. So I am so delighted. I'm so delighted.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it is a delight. I've been looking forward to this. I had just a couple questions for us to get started, and then I would love for you to just share your message about how to build stronger, healthier relationships. First of all, I visited your webpage, and I watched your video of your personal story about how you've been married to your husband, John, for 30 years, but there was a time earlier in your marriage when you thought you were done. You wanted out. And you thought that you needed a divorce in order to make you happy. And I imagine that having your own personal experiences with relationship issues really helps you to be able to connect with your clients who are struggling in their relationships, because you understand that marriage is hard. Is that kind of what led you to become a professional counselor?
I was already in the process of becoming a counselor. But my experience with my marriage is what made me specialize in couples and relationships, and that is the breeding ground for The Marriage Place.
Okay. So you were already in the process of becoming a counselor?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've always known I wanted to do therapy, to work with people in that way, but I hadn't really thought much about what specialty I wanted to focus on. But after my experience, you know, my husband and I, we really struggled for a long time. And we went to several different marriage therapists, and they were all really bad experiences. And I came to realize that most marriage therapists aren't well trained. And it's not their fault. I mean, even, you know, when we're studying, we are trained to be individual. And we have maybe one or two at the most classes on how to work with couples.
Really?
Yeah. And so now that I'm doing it from this side, I hear clients come in and tell me their therapist tells them to get a divorce, that their marriage is hopeless, that they wouldn't want to be in that marriage. So the therapist's own, their own bias and baggage gets in the way. And these people make incredibly difficult, permanent decisions without really good help or information. And I'm determined to stop that.
That is really frustrating, because when somebody is struggling in a relationship, usually the thing that you say is, well, go get some counseling, talk to somebody and see if you can get some help. And if the counselor isn't giving good advice, that's really frustrating, because you feel like, gosh, I've made the step to try to do something to fix this, but I don't think it needs a third party to say you're having a problem. I think you can probably figure that out on your own.
Well, that's true. But you also, I think a big part of the job is to hold the hope. You know, these people are coming into you and they're feeling hopeless oftentimes.
Right.
And if you're intimidated by a personality in the room, if you have not had successful relationships in your past as a therapist, whatever's going on in you, if you communicate to that couple that this marriage really is tough and hopeless and not worth the effort to put into it, they're going to sense it if you haven't outright told them that. And so it's really a problem. And I think the more society continues to devolve, we'll say that, disintegrate maybe, I believe that it is the foundation of the family. That's kind of the root of all of this. And we're not taking good enough care of our marriages. We're just not. And we're not getting good messages about how to do that from anywhere other than churches.
Right.
And some, a lot of people don't align with the church, and so I just felt like this message needed to get out to the people in the world, to everybody, and even in the people in the church. It's like, there's better ways to do this.
Absolutely. So I had another question, and you've already answered it. But one thing that I noticed on your website, what sets your company apart from some of the other counselors, is that you have what you call a pro-marriage approach.
Absolutely.
Versus just a neutral marriage approach. So I'm wondering if you can kind of explain a little bit more about the difference between that.
Sure. So most therapists are what we call neutral. That means they come in and they have no investment in whether or not the marriage is saved or not.
Right.
I mean, it's just, well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. Right?
Right, right.
Pro-marriage, we go in and we value the institute of marriage. We know that if you divorce, you're throwing away a lot. Like, it's a huge blow up of family and resources and emotional health for generations. And so while we know that not every marriage can be saved, and some should not be saved. I mean, not every marriage should be saved. Now, being pro-marriage doesn't mean we're going to keep people or try to keep people in every kind of marriage. That's not true. But I will tell you, most divorces shouldn't happen. They just shouldn't happen. They're happening because people aren't educated enough about realistic expectations of what marriage looks like. Like, when it gets hard, I have people come in and say, marriage shouldn't be this hard.
Oh.
And I'm like...
And where did you learn that information? Was it from a movie, a rom-com? I mean,
right.
Where did you get the idea that marriage isn't hard?
It shouldn't be this hard. And if it is, it means you've married the wrong person.
Oh, obviously.
And see, I know, especially if you're a believer, God uses relationships to grow us. And marriage is a wonderful platform to grow ourselves up emotionally. Because if we're not with somebody who's challenging to us... It's like iron sharpens iron, right?
Interesting.
We don't get pruned. We don't evolve. We don't learn our weaknesses and learn how to overcome them. And so, yeah, I think marriage is important. I think most of them don't need to end. And some of it's just educating and helping people understand that hard oftentimes means something's going well.
Interesting.
Not necessarily badly.
So in that way, how would that be, that it would be something going well?
Okay, so for example... My husband's what we call a pleaser, and I'm what we call a vacillator in a relationship style, and I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But so a pleaser is somebody who doesn't like confrontation or conflict. He just doesn't like it, and he will go 20 miles around a topic to avoid causing discomfort to him or to someone else. He just doesn't like it. Well, I'm somebody that kind of likes conflict. I'm like, let's get in here and figure this out. Now, I'm not talking about conflict like I like to fight with people. I just like to hit a problem head on and work it out. You know, I want to work it out.
Right.
And so if him being married to me and me being married to him is teaching him that there are times when you need to get past the discomfort and have a voice. But it also teaches me there are times you need to sit back and be okay with not having, you know, something worked out how you think it ought to be when you think it ought to be. And that's the growth in both of us.
Excellent.
You see what I mean?
Yeah,
But it can be hard to get there.
Yes. Yes, it can. And I think what I'm hoping is I'm understanding the approach when you talk about being pro-marriage. It's not trying to just keep people together. It's trying to create a relationship that you want to both be in, something
that's right.
Mutually beneficial. It's working on the relationship itself and figuring out how to communicate and how to I don't know, meet each other's needs or come with some expectations that are more realistic or...
More realistic. Yeah, we tell people, maybe it's not time to divorce each other. Maybe it's time to divorce the marriage.
Oh, what does that mean?
That means build a better one. Like this pattern, like marriages are all about patterns. So what happened to me and my husband? We grew up in Christian homes. We met at a Christian college. We were best friends. We had the kind of marriage our friends, you know, all said they wanted to have. And it was real. It was authentic. Like we played together. We laughed together. We got through some tough times together. But there's this pattern underneath our interaction, which is a lot based on what I was telling you before, him being the pleaser, me being the vacillator. And it would show up in a lot of ugly ways that we didn't realize what was happening. And so we, instead of dealing with the pattern, we started fighting each other. And when you're in a marriage where you're stuck in a pattern that's exhausting, you eventually start focusing or framing your partner as the problem. And when you do that, his issues become larger than life and yours are minimized, right? And so we call that a one-up and a one-down position. So when you're in a one-up position, then you're kind of in this place of life would be so much better if he would just change. He's holding me back. Whatever it is you tell yourself where the focus is on your spouse. And when you're in the one-down position, you're kind of in this place of feeling like you actually let yourself be pushed around a little bit. You know, the self-esteem's kind of low and you're coming at the marriage as less than. And once you have that dynamic, you pretty much got a really good recipe for divorce.
Oh.
And so that's what we were doing. We didn't even know it. And so we were personalizing every insult and offense. We were attacking and defending. And it just got to the part, to the point where I didn't even like him anymore. I didn't even want to be in the same room with him much anymore. And that's when I decided that I wanted to get a divorce. And for me to get there was really huge because nobody in my family divorced. And nobody in his family divorced. His dad, when I married him, pulled me off to the side. He was joking, but it was so true. He said, murder maybe, divorce never. Like, this is not an option, right? And so I was like, yep, that's right. And then here I was in this place where I'm like, it's now an option. So I was kind of shocked by that. But as I began to learn about what it really takes to have a good marriage, you know, a lot of people talk about it in terms of have more date nights, show appreciation more, learn how to talk to each other better. And those things are valuable and they're important. But if you don't go deeper into some of the issues that are underlying, that are causing these stuck places, those activities aren't going to get you past some of the really hard times. They're just not. And so I say, you know, let's dig deeper if we want to do better. And so I learned about attachment theory. And attachment theory is a really important part about learning how to get along with your partner in a way that's really helpful. So that's kind of what I'm bringing to the table as far as a therapist with the people I work with.
So can you explain the attachment therapy a little bit?
Sure. What that means? I don't know. Have you ever heard of How We Love, the book How We Love with Dr. Milan and Kay Yerkovich?
No, I haven't read that one.
They do a great job of explaining this in a real layman's terminology. They're Christians. They have a really healthy approach to this. They don't pathologize it, meaning, you know, a lot of therapists are out there to label you, diagnose you, whatever. And this is not what this is approach about. It is just about understanding that we are all wired to show up in relationships a certain way. And understanding where that wiring comes from helps you to be able to make some adjustments where you need them. And so the Yerkoviches talk about five different attachment patterns. There's the pleaser, the victim, the controller, the vacillator, and the avoider. And so you're going to take that pattern. You're that pattern no matter who you're with, but it's when you start mixing up the different pieces in a marriage that makes it really interesting. Like, Like I said, I'm the vacillator. If you put me with a pleaser, I'm going to act one way. But if you put me with a controller, I might act another way. You know, that might show up in a different way. And so it's kind of cool to see this and understand it. But so like the pleaser, my husband is one. He's really, they're uncomfortable with conflict. And they deal with disagreements by giving in or giving up quickly. They have a hard time saying no. Sometimes they're not as truthful as they could be because they just want to avoid the tough conversation.
Right, right.
You know, they learn to read the moods of others around them and make sure they could keep everybody happy. And they get really stressed if they let somebody down. So that's kind of how a pleaser operates in a relationship. A victim grows up, he's usually from a home that's chaotic and uncertain, and they learn to be compliant in order to survive by putting less attention on themselves as much as possible. So they want to become the shadow on the wall, you know, and stay unseen and unheard. And when they need to be fully present, it's often painful for them. They usually have low self-esteem, and they struggle a lot with anxiety and depression. The controller is somebody who grows up in a home where there isn't a sense of protection, so they learn to toughen up and take care of themselves. And they need to feel in control at all times. It's, you know, it's kind of a way of dealing with the anxiety of being uncertain. You know, none of these, and let me just preface this by saying, none of these patterns are bad people. And we all have some of each of them. It's just where you are predominantly.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah, and each one of these has strengths and weaknesses, right? But the controller, they're just trying to protect themselves from fear of humiliation or being helpless. And the one emotion that they do feel comfortable showing is anger.
Oh,
and they can use that to remain in control or in power, right?
Right. It's anger is kind of gives a false sense of control, a false sense
Absolutely.
Of power. But yes. Unfortunately, it is a false sense of power.
Yes, it is. Well, yes. And in some marriages, though, it really does put them, I mean, if you're intimidated by your partner, you're going to get smaller. And then there's the vacillator, which is me. And then this is, you know, we grew up in homes where we might not have been the top priority or consistent affection from parents. And like I said, it's not blaming the parents. Every parent has their own attachment. But, you know, you could have grown up in a family where a parent had to work all the time or somebody had cancer and just wasn't available or whatever. And so the vacillator, we felt deprived of attention of some way. And we were often let down and disappointed. And so we experience a lot of internal conflict and emotional stress within our relationships because we're really sensitive and perceptive to even the slightest change in how somebody else is perceiving us. So if they're pulling away or if they're, you know, we know something's wrong, even if something's not being told us, you know, is wrong. And so a vacillator can get really hurt and just cut people off. I mean, they can just be like, I'm done. I'm out. So they're kind of difficult to deal with. And then the avoider is somebody who grows up with not as much affection, maybe, or and values self-reliance and independence. And they learn to take care of themselves at a very young age. And so their idea about life is pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Ah, gotcha.
You know?
Gotcha.
Get it done. We don't need to talk about feelings too much. Just get it done.
Is that why it's called avoidance? Because I wouldn't have thought that title with that description.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, they have not learned how to get in touch with their emotions. They avoid them.
Avoiding emotions. Okay. Okay.
And avoiding conversations around vulnerability. Yeah.
Okay.
They just rather you get your stuff together. You know, just get it together so we don't have to talk about it.
That would be nice.
And so those are kind of the big patterns. And like I said, for my husband and I, we were operating in a pattern that we didn't understand, didn't even know it was happening. We just kept bumping up into the same stuck issues. And over time, you just get exhausted and you feel like, this isn't working. So
that is so interesting. So if there are two people in the same pattern, does that work harmoniously more than if someone's in a different pattern, or would they have issues as well?
They're going to have issues as well. And so, do you know anything about the Enneagram?
Mm-mm. Teach me.
The Enneagram is this ancient, old, it's like a personality type kind of assessment. They try to link you in with 9 different personality types. And when I first heard it, I just kind of stayed away from it because I'm like, this sounds too woo-woo for me. Like, I don't know, like it just, you know, I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand it. But as I started getting more into it, because clients really do like it, and it is amazingly, freakily accurate.
Interesting.
And it'll tell you, yeah, so you type 1 to 9, and whatever your type is, it'll tell you this list of strengths and this list of what they call, when you're in a healthy place, you head toward these behaviors. But when you get stressed, in distress, or in an unhealthy place, you head toward another set of behaviors.
Okay.
So this is basically, the Enneagram is basically attachment theory. And so a vacillator, when a vacillator is healthy, they are take charge, they are leaders, they are entrepreneurs, they get things done, they're the ones who are in public speaking, they don't have problems, you know, getting out there, right? So they can be very magnanimous. So those are the good things of a vacillator. When a vacillator's not in a good space, when they're not operating in health, they go toward patterns like judgment, criticism. They can be very attacking, you know, and harsh with people and demanding of attention. And so that's kind of how these patterns work. And so a vacillator can be with another vacillator, and if they're both operating in good health, and they're a dynamic duo, right? They're the couple that'll change the world. But when, and they will eventually, they go into these places of unhealth or stress, they're really going to knock heads in a powerful way too.
Okay.
Right? So that's kind of how they all work.
So as I'm listening to this, it kind of sounds like really the key to a relationship is healing yourself.
Yes.
And I also noticed on your website, you talked about if there's at least one of the partners who's willing to work on it, then there's something that can be done.
Oh, yeah.
And I really appreciated that because I know some people feel like, my husband or my wife isn't interested in counseling. And so there's nothing I can do. I'm totally helpless. My relationships are ruined. So if there's only one person who's willing to work on it, where can they start? What can they do?
They start by, like you said, dealing with themselves. What's their pattern? How are they showing up? Because here's what we know. The first time I worked with a client just by herself, her husband had a high-level government job, and he didn't want it on any records that he was in a therapy office anywhere.
Gotcha.
He just felt like that would hurt him.
Okay.
And he really didn't want her to come. But she came, and their entire marriage was transformed just from her work. And so that's when I learned the power of one person making change. And I want you to think about it like a dance, right? So you're with your partner and you're in your pattern or your dance. And maybe it looks like you come home, you have the same fight every night.
Okay.
You can't control your husband. You can't control what he does, what he says when you come home or when he comes home, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how you respond to him has to change him if you change how you respond. Because you have just changed the steps. You were doing the foxtrot. That's what he's doing. Now you're doing, you know, the rumba. And he has to change his steps because you've changed what you're doing. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it can you can so influence another person just by changing the way you respond to them.
That is key.
Yeah,
and
and it's so empowering, right? Otherwise, you are hopeless because you can't change somebody else.
Right. The only person we have the power to change is ourselves.
Right.
And when you're in a relationship that takes two people, that can be frustrating. But I love the idea that if we do take the effort to change ourselves, then other things just kind of fall into place.
Yeah.
I think that's a really important big deal.
And learning this, really learning this, will improve more than your marriage. It'll improve your relationship with your kids. It'll improve your relationship with your family members outside of your house, your people you work with. Like, it's just a win-win.
I like win-win.
I do too. I like win-wins.
I think that is the best.
I could also tell you how to find a good marriage counselor.
Oh, yes, please. How do you find a good marriage counselor?
How do you find a good one? Because I think that's really important. If you're not going to work with us, which anybody can, because like I said, we have coaches and counselors. We deal with people. We have clients all over the world. But if you want to work with somebody locally, the first thing I would do is start looking at their website and see what their message is and if it's something that you align with. I would call them up, and the first question I would ask is, what percentage of couples make up your caseload?
Meaning, is there specialty in marriage kind of a thing versus working with children or whatever other kinds of relationships they're doing? Okay.
And if they say anything less than 75% of what they work for, what they work with is couples, I wouldn't go see them.
Oh, interesting. So as a therapist, you want to go to someone who specializes in marriages.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't want to go to a dentist if you have a brain tumor, right? There is no one-all doctor that I want to trust with something really important to me. And your marriage is really important. And I want to go to somebody who specializes in that. So, yeah.
That is really interesting. And yours is like, isn't it like 95% or something? You're super, super high. That's mostly what you do. But you do dabble in some other things as well. But this is your... this is your focus. This is your message. And
I
think helping to heal marriages, that is the foundation of healing our entire society. It is families, and families are, I mean, marriage is the basis of a family. We can mix and match, and we all do the best we can. I mean, first marriages don't always work, and people play adapt, and they're okay. But I think ideally that especially if you have children, it's really nice if you can have a healthy, happy place to raise those little ones.
Yeah.
So that matters to me a lot.
It does. It does to me too. And it's not that you're a bad person if you divorce or you've divorced. I look at it more as a missed opportunity. I mean, divorce is damaging to kids. There's no doubt about it. But there's some divorces that need to happen. If you're in a home where there's a lot of abuse, where there's untreated addiction, where there's multiple affairs going on, or an affair that won't end, those are marriages I think, you know, should be ended. So sometimes divorce has to happen. But if you're divorcing because you feel stifled or suffocated in your marriage, or bored, or you feel like the passion is gone, I could just come up with so many of these reasons. You're stuck in patterns. You're tired of fighting over the same old things. If that's where you are, then that's an opportunity for you to grow and learn about yourself. And it's probably things you need to know, because you're going to take you into the next relationship and the one after that. I mean, it's just, we take us wherever we go.
That is so true. We take us wherever we go. Sometimes we call that the common denominator. It's like, okay, I'm not getting along here, and I'm not getting along there, and I'm not getting along there. Okay, so what was the same in all of those? It was me. So, you know, we tend to look out and try to blame everybody else, but if there's a consistent pattern, sometimes it's time to look in the mirror.
Yeah. And no matter what, I mean, sometimes there is a marriage where the fault lies more with one person than the other. I mean, sometimes that is true. But nobody gets out unscathed. I mean, I was up in it up to my eyeballs, and so was my husband. I tell that to my clients all the time. I'm like, you're both in this. Like, you both contribute to where you are. And so we try to look at, you know, each of their sides of the street, basically.
Excellent. And I think it matters when you feel like you've been heard and understood.
Yeah.
I don't want to listen to someone if I feel like they're not listening and understanding me as well.
Right.
So.
And couples, you know, we have to teach them a lot about listening. It's hard to listen when you don't like what you're hearing.
Oh, that's a tough one.
And when you don't agree with what you're hearing. And then oftentimes you find yourself listening. You say you're listening, but what you're doing is you're waiting to respond.
Oh, yes.
And that is not listening.
Not the same thing, huh?
Not the same thing. I paused
in my conversation. Doesn't that count?
I'm letting you get it out. Could you just move on with it? You know? Yeah. If I could change one thing about most couples' dynamics that would improve their marriage, it is stop being reactive. Stop getting so angry that your partner doesn't want to talk to you anymore. Stop getting so reactive and punishing. There are people that don't talk to their spouses for days or weeks or even months because they didn't like what they heard or saw or felt. And so it's stop being so reactive. Learn how to self-soothe and get right back in the game, because every time you do that, you're whittling away at something really important.
Absolutely. And I find that if I'm not in a good place and a situation occurs, a comment or an action or something that I don't like, if I took it just as that word or that comment or that action, I really would be okay with it. But since that triggers all these other memories and all these other experiences and all these other things, and I'm kind of kitchen sinking in my brain.
I love that.
It's big. Even though it was maybe a small trigger, my response is really disproportionate. But it's like, you always, or da-da-da-da.
Yeah, but what you're doing is, and we teach our clients this too, and my husband did this just to me this morning. So I'm like, it works. But we teach our clients to say, what I make up about what you just said is this.
Oh, I like that.
Because what you're doing, we all make things up, right? Brené Brown talks a lot about this. Like, somebody is just kind of rushes past us. They don't make eye contact, or we wave our hand high and they just seem to ignore us and walk on. And then we start to make up a story in our head that, wow, they don't even like me. They don't respect me, or they don't, you know, I'm invisible or whatever. And it could be that they were so lost in their own thoughts, they didn't notice anything. Right.
Right.
And so couples, man, how many ways that we can misinterpret and make things up, and we all do it. And most of the time we're wrong. Most of the time we're wrong.
And that's important to know, because in our brain, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Our brain goes to the negative. And so what we do now is we say, okay, what I make up about what you just said is this. And most, I'm not telling you, 90% of the time, the clients are like, that is not at all what I meant. Or I'm not sure how you got that from what I said, because this is what I'm trying to say, you know, and it's very interesting to watch it play out. Now my kids are even doing it with each other.
Oh, I like that. That is a life skill, not just a marriage skill. It's a life skill, a relationship, a communication skill.
Yeah. And it's non-threatening. What I make up about it doesn't say, are you crazy what you just said to me? Do you?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It makes it an I statement rather than a you statement.
It's not aggressive. You're telling me,
you're accusing me or whatever. It's like, this is what I'm getting. And I like the way that you put it, what I'm making up about this. That's super awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming and for sharing and for just chatting with me. I just really have enjoyed this time. Has just flown for me. I love your message and I love your approach. I run a nonprofit charity called Hope for Healing, and it's about empowering people to create the life that they want. And it teaches people how to become their best selves and how to heal relationships and how to become genuinely happy. And I feel like your message of being pro-marriage and proactive to heal relationships is such a good match for our mission. And I would like to add your company's website to our recommended resources page.
Thanks.
If that's okay.
I appreciate that a lot. Thank you. I'm glad of what you're doing out there.
Thank you so much for coming.
I actually enjoyed that.
In closing, I would like to share a quote by American journalist and author Minyan McLaughlin. She said, "A successful marriage requires falling in love many times, always with the same person." So for our listeners who are married, I invite you to fall in love again with your husband or wife. See you next time on Linda's Corner.